WBEZ is supported by Impact Grants Chicago. Over 400 women come together in a unique model of collective giving. Each member contributes $1,000, and together those donations grow into $100,000 grants for Chicago nonprofits that address critical challenges across the city. By pooling resources, individual gifts multiply into greater impact. Listeners can learn more about Impact Grants Chicago and past grant recipients at impactgrantschicago.org/join2025. WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. The Republican National Convention has kicked off in Milwaukee, less than 2 days after an assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump. Now, if you haven't heard, Trump was speaking at a campaign rally in Pennsylvania on Saturday when gunfire erupted. Trump says a bullet, quote, pierced the upper part of his right ear. A 50-year-old bystander was killed, along with the 20-year-old suspected shooter. To hear how these grave events have shaped the start of the RNC, I spoke with WBEZ state government reporter Alex Degman. He joined us from Milwaukee. I started off by asking him to describe his surroundings and what activity was happening around him. Now, at the time of this recording, Donald Trump hadn't yet announced his vice presidential pick, J.D. Vance. So you will hear a couple of references stating that we don't know who he's going to pick. Here's Alex.
Well, a lot of the folks that I've been talking to are coming to a convention for their first time, kind of like me. So arriving yesterday was a lot of trying to get our bearings about us. A lot of us haven't been to Milwaukee in a while, so it's trying to figure out what streets are closed, where are the checkpoints, how do we get to our parking garage? It's already taking a very long time to get around, and that's what a lot of yesterday was about. And there was also a pretty good unifying welcoming party yesterday where about 10 to 15,000 people showed up at the place where they normally have Summerfest every year.
Okay.
Trace Adkins, fireworks. It was a lot of fun. So it was just basically a day designed to get people ready for the work ahead.
Mm-hmm. What are you hearing from delegates and politicians about the assassination attempt on Trump?
Well, as you might imagine, there is a lot of sadness. There's a lot of anger, but there's also a lot of defiance. By and large, I feel like a lot of people are seeing this as a unifying moment. And, you know, you might think that people are a little apprehensive about being around so many people when something so tragic just happened on Saturday. But by and large, they're really not. We were hearing on NPR all day, the Secret Service has updated security protocols around here. And people are just generally excited to be here. And they're ready to get to work.
So as you mentioned, politicians across parties have condemned the shooting. Now, Illinois House Republican leader Tony McCombie called it, quote, a terrible day for our nation. Governor J.B. Pritzker said violence, quote, is never the answer in our democracy. And here's President Biden speaking at a rare address from the Oval Office last night.
We cannot, we must not go down this road in America. We've traveled before throughout our history. Violence has never been the answer.
Now, Donald Trump is scheduled to speak Thursday night, but we could hear from him earlier. Alex, given how events have unfolded in recent weeks, Trump's conviction, the Supreme Court's decision on presidential immunity, that presidential debate we all saw, there was already so much anticipation ahead of the RNC. So what effect would you say the assassination attempt has had on all of this?
Galvanizing. I'll also use the word unifying. Last night outside of the welcoming party, I talked to Aaron Del Mar, who's a state central precinct committeeman from Cook County, and that's kind of how he described it. He thinks that this might be the unifying moment. I mean, there's been a lot of talk recently from people across the spectrum on both sides that there's a lot of momentum in this campaign. And based on everybody that I've talked to from Illinois, whether that be from downstate Illinois, whether that be from Chicago, the consensus seems to be the same among the party, that this is a moment that is going to get people off the sidelines. Mm-hmm. It's not as though they didn't really care before, they weren't paying attention, but something has awakened in a lot of people, and there's going to be a lot of people, as actually Bob Fioretti told me last night, they're going to be knocking on doors. They're going to be getting the let out. They're going to be just working a lot harder than they might have before.
Well, speaking of that momentum, FBI investigators are looking into what may have motivated this suspected shooter to target Trump. Now, as we wait for more details, according to NPR, a number of false conspiracy theories have already begun to spread. People were saying that it was staged, that the Biden administration was behind it, and the list goes on. So are those people that you're talking with, are they focused on that, or are they focused on what comes next, which would be nominating Donald Trump?
I guess it really depends on who you talk to. If you're talking to just the people that are here for the pomp and circumstance of it all and the fun and the atmosphere, they might have a different answer than the people who are elected Republican officials or who are standard party bearers. I've heard the same things too. I've heard from people up here that the Biden administration is behind it to try to get Trump out of the race. I've heard Donald Trump himself is behind it to make people sympathetic to him. I've heard pretty much everything. So, but we really need to obviously wait for the facts to come out on that. But as far as the people that I'm talking to, the folks in the Illinois delegation are more focused on the work. They're more focused on how does Illinois become any kind of a player? How does Illinois move forward with its own party squabbles? So the conspiracy theories, at least for the officialdom in Republican circles, they're not really a factor right now.
Do people feel safe, Alex? I mean, what do we know about security at the convention at this point?
The security presence is palpable. I started trying to count how many different law enforcement agencies I saw on the streets of downtown Milwaukee, and there weren't all that many Milwaukee police officers, but you had everybody from the U.S. Capitol Police to Green Bay to Columbus, Ohio, Wisconsin State Patrol, Indiana State Patrol, and everywhere you look, literally, I don't normally say that, but literally everywhere you look, there is a police officer. Some of them are armed, some of them are not, and you can imagine that there were probably some plainclothes officers in there as well, and that was just yesterday before everybody really started to come around. I've not been downtown yet today. I'm going to head down there in a couple of hours, but now the checkpoints are working. Now everybody's really focused now that the sessions are about to begin. So yesterday, before all that began, people generally said that they felt safe. They noticed that it took a long time to get into the welcome party. The security was taking their time, checking bags, going through everything. So generally, by and large, people feel safe here.
What's on the agenda for this first day?
Well, they're getting underway in a little bit here. I think the first session scheduled to get underway around 1:30, 2 o'clock or so. And today, I think, is the day that they're going to settle on the platform. And there's been some talk about that. There's been some little mini protests around here about that. There's some folks who are concerned that abortion is going to be, or the right to life, I suppose, is going to be taken out of the party platform. So there's some talks about that. And then we are hearing that there may be a vice presidential pick tonight. So it should be a busy day.
Illinois is reliably blue as a state when it comes to presidential elections, Alex. So what role does the Illinois delegation play at the Republican convention?
I think the role that they play is to be a part of it. Well, first of all, it's to be a part of the process. Even though there are 64 delegates from Illinois, that's not as many as some other states. There is an important message that's being sent that is, hey, we're here. You know, Republicans will always say they represent all 102 counties in Illinois, and a big part of showing that is to show up even when, you know, you're the party's not all that relevant on the statewide level and on the national level right now. However, I will say that there's a lot of folks seem to be sensing a momentum shift. There's a lot more momentum, not only behind the top of the ticket with Trump, and that's going to affect all the down ballot races, but it just seems like there was this galvanizing effect with everything that's gone on in the last week. And whether that's going to trickle down into the Illinois Republican Party and get folks on the same page, that remains to be seen.
You caught up with the Illinois delegation. Here's a little bit of what that sounded like.
I need your help in doing this. Please repeat after me. Trump. Trump, 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 Trump.
So that's Trump. Republican State Rep John Cabello leading a pro-Trump chant. So I guess it's safe to say that Illinois Republicans are uniting behind this presumptive nominee.
I mean, I don't know how else to say it. That's pretty clear cut.
Yeah.
That even though years ago, I remember the 2016 convention in Cleveland, there were a lot of discussions about where's the party going to go. The moderates were not getting along with the far right, the Trump wing of the party, I guess you would call it back then. But now, that's gone.
Yeah.
That the entire party is behind Donald Trump.
You mentioned earlier he's said that he's going to announce his VP pick today. I mean, any sense of when that might happen, Alex, and who it might be?
I think, and this is just conjecture based on what I am guessing, but the former president just landed in Milwaukee today. And based on what I'm hearing, it could be tonight. There are a couple of sessions. One of them goes until 10 o'clock tonight. That's generally when the major networks and when you'll start hearing coverage on WBEZ starting at 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
But it might be then. It may be before. You know, it's kind of unpredictable these days. But we are hearing that it is going to be at some point today.
And of course, as if there wasn't enough news already, Alex, we just learned this morning that the judge in the classified documents case against Trump has dismissed the case entirely, saying that the appointment of a special prosecutor violated the Constitution. What's the response been to that?
Well, so far, not much. People haven't really had a chance to digest that yet. In fact, that news broke just as the breakfast was ending and Congressman Mike Bost got up to the mic again and announced that and said that and said the ruling had come in. And, you know, there was some cheering. There were a couple of dozen people that cheered for about 5 to 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And then the executive director just said, oh, okay. So, credentials. Yeah, don't take any pictures of those.
Right, right.
Went on to business.
And we should note that an appeal is expected when it comes to that case. Now, before I let you go, Alex, tell us what else you're going to be watching for this week at the Republican National Convention.
So the original storyline that I wanted to follow as I was preparing to come up here before the events unfolded on Saturday with the assassination attempt was really, where does the state party go from here? The big storyline in Illinois Republican politics was the departure at the end of this week of the state GOP chair. And I'm going to be looking throughout the course of the week to see if this galvanization at the national level is going to trickle down to state politics. How does this affect the party platform? Does this push people more in one direction when they see the trajectory that maybe the nation is going on? Do they think that maybe Illinois should mm-hmm. start to put aside more of the moderate policies and maybe go more conservative? We'll see.
That's WBEZ state government reporter Alex Degman reporting from the RNC in Milwaukee. Now, we're going to continue to check in with him this week as the convention unfolds. Thanks for the update, Alex.
Hey, Sasha. Thanks for having me.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Meha Ahmed, edited by Daniel Tucker, and mixed by Linnea Dominic. We bring you the news you need to know every day on our podcast. One of the best ways to interact with us is through subscribing to our newsletter. Sign up at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
My name is Liz, and as a teacher, I think that WBEZ provides endless sources that I can bring back to my students where they can also engage in a deeper understanding. I teach government, I teach U.S. history, and I have used sources from WBEZ in order to help enrich the understanding of my students.